Welcome to the Majus Pod, brought to you by Saints Peter and Paul Jesuit Church, a diverse Catholic community located in the oldest church building in the heart of downtown Detroit. For the links to the readings, check the show notes. Enjoy Father Gary's latest homily.
Well, I want to have fun today on this feast when we remember and we celebrate that the mission and the love of Jesus somehow extends across all cultures and peoples. I thought we could go on a little cross-cultural adventure. And since this is Native American Heritage Month, it occurred to me, why don't we take a Native American as our guide in understanding this image of the king that's in Scripture today. And so we're going to follow a Native American named Nicholas Black Elk. Now, I had planned to sort of give you a synopsis of his life, and I realized then the homily would take 30 minutes instead of 20. So we'll skip all that. I'll just tell you a little bit, like St. Kateri Tekakwitha, who's statue is over there for this month. She was catechized by the Jesuits, but in the mid-1600s, the first Jesuits in North America. Nicholas Black Elk was about 200 years later, different culture out on the plains, also catechized by the Jesuits. He was born in the 1860s and to a line of Wichasawakan. That means a holy man, a sacred man. So he was from a line of people who were regarded as visionaries, seers, healers, the religious leaders of their tribe, their people. And at a very young age, as a preteen, he had a great vision, and this got him on the path also of being a holy man. And he was regarded as such through his life. He grew up also, though, through the times of the Indian Wars. He was involved in the Battle of the Greasy Grass, where our friend down the road from Monroe, General Custer, met his end. He was a soldier, a warrior at that time. He was also there at the massacre at Wounded Knee, and finally when the last Lakota surrendered to the colonial violence of our military of the United States. So this was his early life. Once he was confined to the reservation, he later, in his about 40, he became a Catholic. And not only, and so he brought that life as a holy man kind of into the Catholic Church with him. And so he was not only catechized by the Jesuits, but became a catechist, a great evangelizer of his own people. And I thought I would show you this a little bit. This is a replica of the actual tool that he used to catechize people. Actually, the Jesuit missionaries from Asia brought this to the U.S. It shows the good red road and the bad black road, and he would use this. It has the whole history of salvation on it. So this was his catechetical tool. So, a little bit about this feast of Christ the King. Very strange when we think about who Jesus actually was. He was a peasant, shaman, holy man like Black Elk, a nobody from a small tribe or nation in the Middle East, also under the thumb of a colonial oppressor, the Roman Empire, which eventually tortured and killed him. This person, this nobody, this failure who was executed, he is the king of the whole universe. How did the early Christians possibly come to think that way? And we hear it at its extreme in the second reading today from Colossians, where it says he is the firstborn of all creation. All things in the universe, in the heavens, on the earth, were created through him and for him. And he's also the firstborn from the dead, and he's going to reconcile, heal all peoples, all creation in himself through the blood of his cross. It's a preposterous claim, you know, for this little peasant from Nazareth. What could it possibly mean? What did the early Christians experience? And not only is it a preposterous claim, I want to say today that it's a dangerous claim, especially if you're a member of a dominant culture, because you could easily twist it around and completely misunderstand it. Well, you might say, our Jesus is King of the universe. He's number one. He's the top dog. Our religion is the greatest one in the world. We have more truth than anybody. We have the true religion. The rest of them are all wrong. We're top dogs with Jesus, and we're going to bring our truth and impose it on the whole world, and we'll be top dogs with him. We're going to rule the world. Huh? Completely misunderstands the image. What does the text say? That he is the one who cares deeply and passionately about every human being in this world. He wants to heal all peoples and reconcile all peoples. By what? By the blood of his cross, by the sacrifice of his own life. He gives everything to bring all peoples of this world together. So let's come to Nicholas Black Elk. I want to share with you some of his great visions that he had. So again, he was only a preteen when he had this great vision. He is taken by the thunder beings up into the clouds to the teepee of the grandfathers. And in there, the grandfathers, the great spirits, give him some holy objects that are blessings. They are spiritual powers, gifts that he has. And they send him on a visionary journey down the Red Road, the Good Red Road. And this, on this road, he recapitulates the terrible history of his people, their suffering, their tragedy, as their culture is destroyed and they're conquered and overrun. And it ends up, he sees a village of his people that is just devastated. People are dying and dead. He sees it as a village would be a circle, but everything in it is dying. The plants are dying. And he has been given, one of the gifts he's been given, is a great sacred tree, but it's also only a dead stick. And he is ordered to take the stick and plant it in the center of the circle, in the center of the village, like the tree in the Sundance. And as he does so, he says suddenly that the stick leapt in his hand and became a great, a glorious tree that was in full bloom, and it began to restore life and healing to all around it. And he says, while I stood there, I saw more than I can tell and understood more than I saw, for I was seeing in a sacred manner the shapes of all things in the spirit as they must live together like one being. And I saw the sacred hoop of my people was one of many hoops that made one circle wide as the daylight and as starlight. And in the center grew one mighty flowering tree to shelter all the children of one mother and one father. And I saw that it was holy. Now remember, this is a preteen seeing this. Vision of not only his own people, but all the people of the world being brought together in one circle. And he says, he starts describing the people that he saw, and somewhat to his shock, he saw even the whites were there in the circle of salvation. At a little later point in his life, in his 20s, he got involved in the ghost dance, and there he had visions again and entered more deeply. He went back into this same vision and saw something he had not seen so deeply before. He says, I went back into the center of the circle, and there again I saw the tree in full bloom. And against the tree, I saw a man standing with outstretched arms. The man looked at me. I didn't know whether he was a white or an Indian. He had long hair hanging down. On the left side of his head was an eagle feather. His body was painted red. Now, at that time, I had never had anything to do with the white man's religion, and I had never seen any picture of Christ. And this man said to me, my life is such that all earthly beings that grow belong to me. My Father has said this. And you, too, must say this. And as I looked at him, his body became transformed and changed into all colors, and it was very beautiful. And around him there was light, and it seemed also as though there were wounds in the palm of his hands. And all at once, he disappeared. Now, he's saying this at the age of 75, so many years later. He says, it seems to me, on thinking it over, that I have seen the Son of the Great Spirit himself. Now, why am I reading all this to you? That we might ask ourselves, who is this Christ, the King of the universe, that he could show up in the shamanic vision of a preteen of a nomadic tribe in the middle of nowhere? Who is this Christ who relates to all peoples? So I want to tell you one more little bit, read to you of his vision. So he makes this journey through the devastation of his people and their destruction, their confinement, and the reservation. All that is yet to come, but he sees it in his vision. And when this great tree blooms and begins to restore all things, then as he sees the power of the Spirit to bring renewal and to bring new life, the grandfathers call him back to their teepee, and they send him back to Earth. Now, his vision is ending. They send him back to Earth with the spiritual gifts that he has so that he can enact what he has seen in the vision, so that he can bring it about. And I want to read you the very last thing that happens before he is sent back to Earth. So this glorious tree with the red man stretched out in front of it, restoring all things, also brings back to life a horse, which I think is another symbol of Christ. The horses are, Black Elk says, of earth. So it's like the earthly version of the red man. Okay. So this horse is laying there dead or dying, but it begins to revive. The poor horse neighed and rolled and got up, and he was a big, shiny black stallion with dapples all over and his mane about him like a cloud. He was the chief of all the horses. Christ the King? He was the chief of all the horses. And when he snorted, it was a flash of lightning, and his eyes were like the sunset star, and all the universe was silent, listening. And then the great black stallion raised his voice and sang. And his voice was not loud, but it went out over all the universe and filled it. And there was nothing that did not hear it. And it was more beautiful than anything can be. It was so beautiful that nothing anywhere could keep from dancing. And then he sees the rivers and the lakes and the trees and the grass and all the animals dancing. And a voice said, all over the universe, they have finished a day of happiness. And looking down, I saw that the whole wide circle of the day was beautiful and green, with all fruits growing and all things happy and kind. And then a voice said, behold this day. It is yours to make. This is our day. This day of Christ the King is our vision of one who comes to heal all peoples, to reconcile all peoples, the peoples of Africa and Asia and Latin America who have been like black elk, oppressed and downcast and persecuted and devastated by Western colonialism, as many were on this continent and enslaved. He is the one who has come to heal and to reconcile all people. This is our vision. Behold this day. It is yours to make.
As always, thank you for listening. To learn more about the community at Saints Peter and Paul Jesuit, check out our website, sspjesuit.org, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Links for all three can be found in the show notes. Until next time, be well and God bless.